Listen more often to things and to beings. Listen more often to things and to beings. Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is heard. Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never, never left. The dead are not under the earth. They're in the rustling trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is low. Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. Those who have died have never, never left. The dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast. They are in the wailing child. They are with us in our homes. They are with us in this crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. Tis the ancestor's breath when the fire's voice is low. Tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters.
So I think it might be wise if I explain what that noise that you hear is that sounds like rustling leaves or something. All of the children received activity bags that have tissue paper to make paper flowers. So that's what they're very studiously working on. Or other things. Stained glass windows, things like that. I didn't even notice that until right now. Creativity. You also may have in this very full service today, note that on the back of the hymn we're going to sing later is a photograph of a buck. And Darcy and I were surprised on Tuesday to be visited when we were in a meeting in the conference room. This picture, he's standing right outside the patio door. You can see how close. Later in the week, he came and knocked on the front door when Kelly was here with his horns. And originally, I had thought that this was going to become part of the homily today because Darcy and I noticed that he was wounded, and that was why, and we actually thought he had come here to die. And he might have come for, I'm thinking now maybe it was a respite, because we figured out that he had a friend who came with him the next day, and he had been locked onto our property. We were able to open the back gate, and then when we looked around finally on Thursday, both of them had left. So we're sending good thoughts, and we might add our friend Emerson, I named him, his friend Thoreau, into our prayers as they continue to walk the grounds. And that's why we have him right here. You might think of it, I don't think I'm going to add him to the altar. Originally, we had thought we might, but I think he was actually getting better. Renacen los muertos. También los muertos. Right? Did I do that pretty well, Lou? Renacen los muertos. También los muertos. The orchards regenerate, and so do the dead. Something like that. Or the orchards come back, so do the dead. También los muertos. Not nearly so poetic in English. And even the concept doesn't quite make as much sense to those of us who have a more northern family history. But still, we are drawn to this Mexican holiday. For a few of us, this tradition is part of our heritage. For some of us, we have grown close to an acknowledgement of a spiritual tradition that doesn't simply shut away or leave out or silence us from speaking to those who have gone before. This Dia de los Muertos brings our ancestors back from a long journey to the place and the people who have mingled with and loved them through life. In much of this culture, death isn't always treated this way. Even today's visit with loved ones, there might be a bit of trepidation inside each of us. Will it be too much? Do I really want to go there? Makes me wonder why the kids have decided on their own to make stained glass, you know? That just came up. When the veil is thin, do I dare peer through? They say in Samhain, this is the time of the year when the veil is the most thin, where we are able to peer through to the other side. What will I see if not my own reflection? They say it burns the lips when we speak of the dead. Yet this land that we inhabit right here in this part of California brings us other influences as well, and we are shaped by the cultural heritage of so many people who came before, first the Ohlone and the Miwok communities, then the Mexican people who long inhabited this ground. And so we sing and we create beauty with paper flowers and stained glass, with sugar skulls, with voice and beauty. We prepare the welcome of all ages to heap upon our memories the truth that the voices of the young and old, the quiet and noisy, the pale and the colorful, are always to be with death. Here, when we do our memorials, we say that if we remember them, if we speak of them, then they will not die. To make that so, let us take some time. Let us manipulate our tissue paper. Let us bring some bread of the dead. Let us decorate our sugar skulls as the children have done. Let us smile. Let us laugh. Let us grant permission even to shed a few tears. Let us, when we go outside, crunch some acorns as we imagine ourselves parading through the cemeteries. That's how I feel, too. Even when we feel like our loved ones, that's my cat right there in the front. That's my Chuck. You guys have heard me talk about him. Sometimes it feels small, looks small, feels big. Let this day of the dead reflect the enormous fragility of life and the persistence of the human spirit amidst all we have lost. Let us reaffirm that here lies our joy, our verity, our assurance, our complexity, our love. Let us make room for this day, for this complex sight of joy and sorrow, of the assurance of the orchards, that just as they regenerate, so too do our muertos. Come, let us welcome the ancestors. And now we have plenty of room for the noise, because we are going to celebrate the dead by lighting a candle in their honor. So I'll invite you to come up the sides and light a candle there off the side table, and then bring it carefully. Take your time. And if you need help bending down to set it on the altar, we'll do that. Today we bring not only our minds, but our breath and our bodies into this prayer. This prayer places a pause on skepticism and invites our ears to listen for the ancestors' breath. We bring our bodies, young and old and in between, to be present for the fullness into this ritual day. Hands open on our lap or folded together, head tilted or bowed or lifted up. Allow yourself comfort and awareness of your body as you are able. Listen to this place, to these people and elements, to these many possibilities, to all that has come before, is, and will be yet to come. Now, as you settle your attention into your heart, notice the chattering thoughts, the unkind judgment of yourself and others, and simply let them go. Make room for prayers for the ancestors, loved ones here, those who have spent time in this very sacred space, who have given their efforts and faith here. Make room for those who have made their homes nearby, who worked and loved and walked and laughed for you and for themselves. Make room for those ancestors who dwelt here long before our memories allow us to recall, whose living and toiling and loving were loved by those who followed them. Make room for those whose lives have recently been lost to illness or injury, by accident and or pain unbearable, or through acts not understood by you or me or maybe even God. Let us now speak aloud some of those names that are on our hearts and in this room. May we know that we are never alone, that we are joined by a mighty cloud of witnesses, that the Holy One, with compassion and care, journeys with us in our joy, in our sorrow, and through all of the confusion and pain. We are not alone, as we know the orchards regenerate. Hear the breaths, the cries, the sorrow, the joy. May we be grateful for this life, for so much life, for this connection, for this ability to love and be loved. May it be so. Blessed be. And amen.